In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. We are now in the vigil for what is called Meat Fair Sunday, or Carnival Sunday, but better is called the Sunday of the Last Judgment. And we read in Corinthians about meat, or actually about food. The King James word is meat, but meat means food in that old way of speaking. So let's talk about meat or food and fasting, because St. Paul gives us some important precepts and guidelines about what we eat and really everything we do. It's not just about what we eat. First of all, I must say that I have, in my experience, this scripture is one of the few that people who do not know the Bible well and also do not fast know. And it's a shame because they misunderstand what the apostle is saying. He says, "But meat," meaning food, "commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse." So if you take only a surface meaning of that, sort of with an agenda or with a presupposition, then you could say, it doesn't matter what you eat. Whether you fast or not is not important. What's important is that you love God and some other such things. This is not what the apostle is saying, because the context is following. "But take heed, lest if by any means of this liberty of yours you become a stumbling block to them that are weak." He's speaking of a specific instance, a specific situation which we don't have anymore. I suppose we could have it in some places in the world, but in general we don't have it here. And that is when Christians would eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Of course, these were Gentiles that had become Christians. And in their environment, meat, that is animal products, animals were sacrificed to idols. And then a portion of the food was eaten, and a portion of it was given to the one who sacrificed, and then a portion of it was taken, and it was sold in the marketplace. And some people were offended that a Christian would eat meat that had been sacrificed to an idol. Well, St. Paul makes it clear that it really is not important whether or not it's sacrificed to an idol. It doesn't mean we are worshiping the idol. It's just dead animal flesh, and we can eat it if we wish. But he also makes it clear that if we eat it and our brother is offended because of weak conscience, then we should not eat it. Now, that situation, as I said, doesn't really occur nowadays, regularly. But the situation in which we might do something that could offend our brother could occur quite often. And perhaps it is something that in and of itself would not be offensive unless our brother is offended. So we must be careful to not let our knowledge, our higher knowledge of things, offend our brother. Because the apostle says, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. So if we are not careful of our brother's conscience and he's offended, and perhaps he sins because of his being offended in some way, not just by being judging us, but perhaps in some other way, we're responsible. Now, this sounds very similar to what we will read tomorrow and that I will talk about. Because in the Last Judgment, the Lord recounts how there were these things that the righteous did and the unrighteous did not do. And they both ask the question, when did we do it or not do it? And he says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto me, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So, if we offend our brother, we sin against Christ. If we do something good for our brother, we do good unto Christ. And St. Paul says, sort of like with the typical emphasis that he has, the zeal. He says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now substitute in meat or food, for if there is something that I do that offends my brother, you can't categorically say I won't do it, but because there are things that offend our brother that we should continue doing, right? I mean, some people are offended about things that they don't understand, but if there is something that offends my brother and I can modify my behavior or counsel my brother or help him in some way, I must do it. So we must be aware of our weak brother. That is the most important thing to get out of this passage. Not that it doesn't matter what you eat. In fact, it matters a whole lot why you eat, not what you eat. The reason we fast is because we are indulgent, self-indulgent creatures. And self-indulgence is not the way to attain the kingdom of God. It can't be done if you're self-indulgent. So we must find some way to bridle ourselves so that we can control ourselves. This is true in everything. If you're in college and all you do is party, you're going to flunk out. You must find some way to study even when you don't want to. It works for everything else too. If you play a sport and you never practice it, you won't be any good. If you don't feel like practicing it and you don't, then you won't prosper in it. And the same thing in the Christian life. In the Christian life, we must forgive our brother. In the Christian life, we must pray. In the Christian life, we must bridle our passions. It's very hard to do those things. Therefore, we've got to find something we can do that we can bridle our passions about, something that's easier, and then we will grow in ability. Fasting's easy compared to loving your brother, compared to not judging your brother. It's really easy compared to that. Now, some people think fasting's really hard, and it's hard for them, true, but it's not as hard as loving their brother completely, because none of us can say we do that. So, if we fast, we are offering to God that we want to control our passions. Eating is something we do every day, several times a day. So it is something that we can easily be continually offering to God. That is one of the great reasons why we fast. It is something that is convenient and easy to offer to God. And regular. So we fast for periods of time so that we can have more self-control. And also as an offering of love to God, to show we love God more than the world. I read something about that last year, and it really, really touched me. We offer to God that although His world is beautiful, and although the things He has given us are beautiful, we love Him more than those things. Therefore, we say there are times when we put aside the eating of meat or of cheese or of eggs or of whatever, even though we love those things, because we love our Savior, and we wish to become more like Him. And we know that to become more like Him, we need to control ourselves. Now, if you can control yourself in loving your brother and never judging him, you can eat as many hamburgers as you want every day. But, as I said, it's a whole lot easier to abstain from hamburgers than it is to abstain from judging your brother. Because none of us can fully abstain from judging our brother. The purpose of fasting is so that we do fast from judging our brother and fast from all sin. So St. Paul doesn't go in talking about that here, but it's important when we read this passage that people don't say, oh, this means I can eat whatever I want. What you eat is not as important as why you eat it. And we know that certain foods have a certain spiritual effect on us. And meat has a passionate effect on the soul, especially if you eat large quantities of it. So that's why we give up meat first. And also meat is very tasty, and people like it, and therefore it is something where we offer to God and show Him by our actions that we're serious. And then we learn to control our stomach, and from controlling our stomach, which is easy compared to everything else, we start to control our passions, that we love our brother, that we don't judge him, that we pray for the whole world. that we have attention, that we remember death, or have the remembrance of death. I don't mean think about death. Thinking about death is what the world does, and it scares them. Remembering death is what Christians do, which is really, in a nutshell, to realize that everything in the world is temporary. Everything in the world is going to die, except what we become and who we become. That's the remembrance of death. So let us begin this fast when we do, and we're started a little bit, right, after Sunday. On Monday, we won't be eating any animal products anymore, that is, animal flesh. Animal products, yes, cheese, eggs, but not animal flesh. And then when we begin the fast the next week, we won't be eating any cheese and eggs and other such things as well. But let us fast for a purpose. The purpose is so that we, in doing a small thing, can be made worthy of a big thing. And that big thing is self-control, so that we at all times would be in the Spirit, so that at all times we would be close to God, so that our passions would not blind us to who God is and would not keep us away from His presence. That's the purpose of fasting. And in the midst of our fasting, let us be especially attuned to the needs of our brother. Like I said, it doesn't come up too often that we're going to have a situation where we're eating something that was sacrificed to an idol and one of our Christian brothers might be offended. But there are many cases where our Christian brother may be offended or may be hurt by something we do or do not do, and we must be sensitive to it. Another thing about fasting, it obviously this passage does not discuss it, but we fast, I think, now this is, I guess, more my opinion, but in the garden, they did not eat meat, right? And they would have, Adam and Eve, if not for sin, risen to perfection after having never eaten animal flesh. And so, when we fast, it is remembering that state in the garden. We remember the garden a lot tonight and the judgment. And so there's nothing overtly more holy about not eating meat, but it is symbolic of returning to that state in Eden. Now, I believe also this is why monks fast, not only because monks must really control their passions because they're sort of much more intense. They're doing the same thing we're doing, or should be, or we should be, but they are especially battling, and therefore there's going to be more temptations against them. And if they do not find some way to have something where they control regularly, they're going to be annihilated. And so they always fast from animal flesh. And they also are recalling the state in the garden that we should be in. So I think that's also a reason why we fast. But let's not in any way say fasting is holy. Fasting helps us to achieve holiness. But the reason why is because of our nature. Our nature needs to fast because our nature tends to indulge itself. So we got to find some way to not indulge ourselves. Now, if you can jump out of bed as soon as the alarm clock goes off and never just lay in there and be lazy and say your prayers at 3 a.m, that's a great way to not indulge yourself. I suppose if you could do that, that would be equivalent to fasting, but it's very rare when any one of us can do that. And by the way, the person who's doing that every morning will find fasting relatively easy. The person who is not doing that every morning may find fasting more difficult. So that's another way to tame your flesh, is get up early in the morning, right? Or say your prayers when you're tired at night. But let's be honest with one another. When we're tired at night, sometimes we go to bed instead of saying our prayers. And in the morning, when our alarm clock goes off at 5, we sometimes get up at 5:20 or 5:30 or 6 or whatever, and say, don't say our prayers or say less prayers in the morning. So we're inconsistent about those sorts of things. But fasting is just a steady thing. You can fast from the foods the church tells you to fast from, and that is really helping you. It's really beneficial. So may God help us to fast in order to find perfection, so that we can find perfection through self-control, and then God will be more evident to us, and we will know Him. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.